Hello and welcome back to Down This. What was slightly late this week, but we've got a star-studded cast. We're joined by Ewan as always. Ewan, how are we getting on?
I'm good, buddy. Middle of pretty much the busiest week of the year at work, which is exciting, of course, but not good considering we both woke up on Monday and went, "Oh fuck, it's Monday. We should probably sort that out for this week." The long weekend's totally fucked us both there, I think. But no, I'm good. Just a nice short week at least.
And we've got the co-host with the most, if most means most Hibs jerseys I've ever seen a single man. Owen McBee, you're back. How are we getting on?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Delighted to be back on with you boys.
Hey,
Thanks
love
for
it.
thank you. Thank you for having me again.
No, of course, of course. And I seen you were on some travels during the Easter period. Where were you off to this time?
I was down at we were down Blackpool for the weekend, so I was coaching the wee man's team at the Fleetwood Easter tournament Saturday, Sunday. But I had the joy of going to see Fleetwood Cheltenham on Friday afternoon, and let me tell you, right, because I've got to get this off my chest. If Lee Johnson thinks that the Hibs squad and the Fleetwood squad would be a mix of the two, he's even more of a fucking lunatic than what Dave Graham had pegged him as, because that was one of the worst games of football I have ever seen in my life. I am confident our Hibs team would beat them 100 times out of 100. They were so bad. So
Jesus.
I definitely had to get that off my chest. Bloody awful. Bloody awful game of football.
McBee, we are here to listen. You and I'll let you know, like my tangents. What's the worst lower league game of football you've been to in recent years?
Honestly, mate, I have never been to a lower league game of football that didn't involve Hibs, I don't think. I'm trying to think. Like, so I've like obviously since m when I lived in Falkirk, never went to a Falkirk game. Moved to Alloa area. Never been to an Alloa game that's not involved Hibs. Yeah, I genuinely even know if I've went to a juniors game of football.
Maybe, you know when someone says to you they've never seen a certain TV show or a film, and you're like, how has that happened? I feel I've just had one of those moments. What? You've never been to a football game, sorry, it didn't involve Hibs.
A
Like,
lower
what?
league game of football. Honestly, like I've never. Actually, that's a good point. Have I been to a Scottish football game that didn't involve Hibs? I don't think so.
Well, Ewan, I'm heavily involved with the
Oh,
Bowness
no.
Athletics guys, looking after their under 20s. So you are more than welcome, and I'll roll out access all area to come to Newton before the season's out, mate. All right.
I'll be there. It's a Friday night, the games, isn't it, normally? Is that
Well,
right for
it's
the 20s?
Friday night for the 20s and Saturdays for the first team, eh?
Oh, we'll get I have my boon Hibs on your plane. Aye, that's me though, actually. Like, that's a jail. I'm trying to convince myself, but obviously, I've played football in that, Harry, like amateurs and that, and we'll still do start it again. But, no, genuinely, sorry to ruin that for you. Genuinely, not.
That's no route, mate. That is one of the biggest revelations I think we've ever unfurled on this
And I'm
podcast.
trying
I
to
think
like,
that's
even when
mental.
I'm.
Like, someone who loves his football as much as you. Just to move us on slightly and actually get us to the topic. Which
No.
game have I went to? The one game I've ever regretted wearing shorts, East Fife away to Stenhouse Muir. And I got on the train afterwards and put two fingers on my leg, and because it was that cold and that wet. My whole legs were pink, and the two like white patches from me poking down stayed on my leg for over an hour and a half. Like, that is how freezing cold it was. Like, I was genuinely close to calling an ambulance. I was like, what is going on? So that's the only time, because Ken, I'm a short guy, shorts guy, sorry. And that's the only time in my life I regret wearing
Both are
shorts.
valid.
Around this. But yes, enough of my shorts, enough of McBee going to Fleetwood, enough of Ewan not going anywhere. Hibs actually played this weekend. I'm going to Hibs podcast, so let's get chatting about that. Yeah, just give us you and your kind of overall thoughts on the game.
I'm pretty much as expected, Harry. I've got a couple thoughts on sort of the way that Hibs approached the game and versus maybe and how we have to approach these games that I think I spoke to you a little bit about after the game. Maybe come on to a little bit more as we go on, but it was fine. It was in general, it was fine. There was some good spells in the game, and there was some time and some spells in the game where we were under the cosh. I don't think we deserve to get anything from it, but it's probably a performance and a result that, you know, you can just move on from and, you know, hopefully get another run going now between, well, obviously now in the split, but between now and the end of the season.
And McBee, we were discussing beforehand that you've watched the whole game back. You said you were pleasantly surprised. Do you want to kind of expand on that?
Aye, so listen, clearly we've indulged on what my weekend activities were, so I didn't actually catch it live Saturday afternoon, but obviously heavily involved in the chat on a few group chats, and you know, coming what was clear as day coming through is I don't think many people were impressed with the first half performance, and I, you know, it seemed to be there was a marked improvement second half. So I've taken the time to watch it back, the full 90, and you know something, I've got to say, like looking at it, and there's the context of the game itself, right? Like there's that, but there's also the context of the season as well that's overriding, I would suggest also. And I thought Hibs contained Rangers first half really well, to be honest with you. I don't think we're really giving up chance after chance. I think we were dangerous at points as well. I think what you know, I'm coming more to the conclusion, the more you watch Elie Youhan, the more time he has, the more he doesn't deliver. See, when he's on instinct and he's got to get the ball away quickly, and he's such a dangerous player. It's the points where he stands somebody up, and he maybe gets overwhelmed with too many options, and there's a little bit of analysis paralysis about where he's gonna put a ball, to be honest with you. But I think we were very dangerous, on the counter. We were certainly much improved second half, without a doubt. That 15-minute spell, certainly after half time, we were well in the game. And I just think, as I say, when you look at the result in isolation, you go, ah, it's not great. Like you'd want to go to Ibrox. But again, one of the things I always seem to see is people didn't contextualise there's two teams on the park, right? So Hibs got a lot of like bad press at the what was a couple of weeks ago when we played them in the cup, saying we should have come out, should have been aggressive. Like this is a team that are going for the league. Like can they've got like massive priorities, and it can it just be a case of you just come out and steamroller
Yeah.
like this mob? It's just not going to happen. Like they're top of the league or for a reason. They've had major investment as well, so you've got to be a wee bit pragmatic. And then when you, as I say, you look at the context of the season, I don't think our confidence would necessarily survive the fact you're getting turned over another four, five, six now if you opened up and went expansive
Sure.
on them as well. So I think it's not great coming away 3-1, but I don't think it was anywhere near as bad as what I was reading in the group chat, following it. So again, it comes back to kind of pleasantly surprised. But listen, there's still work to do if you want to go straight in Glasgow and you know rival these guys. So that's where I'm at, mate.
I think like what Andrew's saying is right, Harry, in the sense that we were a threat even in the first half. I think our best spell of the game was probably the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half. But even in the first half, but I think the frustrating thing for me was, goal aside, we had quite a number of opportunities where we maybe could have capitalized a little bit more like we did for the goal. And I just think the players, you need the star players, if you like, Elian, Mizen, Emiliano, to really stand up and be counted if you're going to win at Ibrox. And I just think they weren't quite sharp enough. They just weren't clinical enough, really, in the moments that we had to really take advantage of the opportunities. Which is why for me it was like, I think I sent after the game, it was sort of like we tried to play out. Sometimes to our detriment, we tried to counter, we had opportunities, we just simply weren't clinical enough, good enough, whatever, you know, whatever you want to put it down to, as to go to Ibrox and get 3 points now, or even a point. But I also, maybe now is just the right time, Harry. So for me, it's been proven this season by Aberdeen or Motherwell to get a result at Ibrox, at least, you play 5-4-1 and you make it hard for them. You know, like Motherwell done it. I mean, Motherwell went there and had fucking Paul McGinn playing as a left wing back. Like, Aberdeen done it and they left. They had Miofsky and Fio Baer, obviously, as their sort of lone strikers. Then they both had maybe like one midfielder who was capable of sort of running off them. Motherwell had Blair Spittle in that sort of mold. Now, I simply don't think Hibs have the makeup in the squad to do that. I don't think we've got the defensive capabilities, but I just actually don't think we've got the players to set up in a 5-4-1 and go there. So by default, we have to still go there and, yeah, be a little bit more cautious, like you're saying, but we still have to try and play, which in turn, that's what Rangers want. You know, Rangers are a good football team themselves. It'd be the same at Celtic Park. They would, and this isn't me going, oh, they love playing us because we make it easy for them, but they would, I would be surprised, they would much rather play against Hibs, who are going to come and try and pass the ball out, create opportunities ourselves, which in turn means there's turnover opportunities in transition, and then play against Motherwell, where you know they're for 90 minutes they're going to sit with 11 men behind the ball. So for me, it's like we went there, we tried to play some football, we weren't quite good enough, and ultimately we just got beat by a better football team. You know, like we. With the makeup of our squad right now, we have to go to Glasgow and try and beat them at football. We can't go to Ibrox now and smash and grab. It's not in the DNA of our squad. And unless you do a big overhaul, which I don't think any of us would want to see the squad become a team that can do that. You know, I think we always want to see the right football being played the right way, if you want. But as that, I think a byproduct of that is going to Glasgow will be difficult and we will ultimately always give up chances to these teams who are going to take them, if
Yep,
that makes sense.
when you go back beer.
Aye, but see the other thing about it as well, Ewan, is right, the 3 goals you can see they're cheap as well, right? That's the other thing. So the first what I'm really struggling with is we're no learning either, right? So the first one, when that ball comes in and eventually lands at Tavernier's feet, right? Malida's got himself back and he's got himself back in a position
Yeah.
where he could defend. If he scans over his shoulder, he can get close to Tavernier to make his strike a lot more difficult than what it is. We're in the 52nd minute, right? How many late goals have we conceded?
Oh.
Like, okay, is it not just raw up the road? We are, Kim, 7 minutes of injury time at Dingwall. You fight, you scrap, you bite, it doesn't matter what it is. Do not concede before you go in back into that dressing room. And it's even more important if you've just got yourself level at Ibrox to can get yourself back in and regroup. So again, we've another issue where we've done the same thing. We've not defended it, we've not been switched on, and bang, they've got a goal. Listen, I'm not trying to single the laddie out at all, because listen, he's been a phenomenal player this season for us as well. But Joe O'Neill, why is he diving in at that point of the box, at that point of the game, when all you need to do is just shadow the guy, bring him inside, and get your midfield as well? So there are three things that we've made mistakes in recent weeks that we've not learned from either, right? So it's cheap. It's cheap goals
That is
again.
cheap goals.
It's
That
cheap goals, and it's things we didn't seem to be learning from it. And that's, for me, is what the bigger concern is, more than anything else. Like,
Yeah.
it just, when's the penny going to drop with the players? Because, as I say, you do these three simple things, you've
Got a
already saved
chance, aye.
yourself. If you've got a chance, you've already saved yourself 3 goals, right? So it's just the same mistakes over and over and over again, it feels like to me. When looking at the 3 goals at the weekend, I was like, I can pinpoint in the last 2 3 weeks exact same
Similar.
things happening in other games.
It's like the 2 goals we conceded in the first half at Ibrox are almost like the Ross County goal was that combined. You know, like late
Aye.
on in terms of the stoppage time, and then my same my leader pretty much does what Youan does at Ross County. It's just obviously circumstance around it is different, but
And he's done the hard work though, because he's got himself back into his, he's got himself back there into a position. He just needs to be that little bit smarter in scanning. Where is everybody? Where am I? What am I doing? Well, how am I affecting play? Because he's back there, but he's not affecting anything. Because he's not marking anybody.
So
So
yeah, so it is the exact same as you end up at County Harry. Like they know he's like, I need to be here, but what
what
did
am
they
I
know I'm
affecting?
here?
Exactly. What am I affecting? Nothing. Like, because you're not close to anybody. So.
A few points in the game that I thought were quite decisive. The as I think sometimes when we take the lead, especially away from home, we shit the bed and throw everybody back. But we should all be very accepting of the fact that we are not very good at doing that. And it cost us a goal against Hearts. It led to the penalty against them, and it cost us a second goal. We were, in my opinion, slightly in the ascendancy. The game was pretty balanced after Rangers' goal, but I think we were looking more likely to break away and get a goal. They'd resorted to long ball for some reason. And then as soon as we scored, even though it was like 7 minutes before halftime, we sat and done nothing. And we let them relentlessly attack us. And at one point, as you alluded to, Millie at one point slept, they scored. That's what happened. And then I don't know if that's a Montgomery thing. I don't know if it's the player's mentality of let's try and get to halftime, let's sit back and hope for the best. But the second point for me that killed the game, not necessarily when just because of him personally, but I thought the substitution to bring on Jair and put Malida through the middle was, again,
Mental.
a really, really, really terrible sub. Not a, like the thing is, a lot of the questions we got in were kind of slandering Jair. We try our best not to criticise players too heavily on the podcast. Just a short and sweet summary: he was not good in any way at all, and he had a very bad performance. That's the honest, hard truth for him. But putting Malida, who was our only out ball, through the middle, we just couldn't get up the pitch. The only reason we were having so much success at the start of the second half is because Juan and Malida on each wing were finding themselves in one-on-ones, so they could actually carry the ball up the pitch. And then you had Lafondre kind of running through the middle, dragging players away so the players could be isolated in their one-to-ones. And that's how we got the ball up the pitch. Jair looked timid and couldn't take on a man. Again, I don't want to bash him too much, but we lost any form of actually getting the team up the pitch, and we just declined and declined and declined eventually.
Just a weird one, Harry. Like he,
Yeah. Right.
Martin Boyle comes on 10 minutes later. You know, like just, and then genuinely, whether my leader goes through the middle, Boyle goes through the middle, or Yuan goes through the middle, you've then got three players with pace that can stretch the game. It's a weird one. And just sort of just Andrew, you can come in, but I just want to go back to your point, Harry, about the management of the game sort of before half time and stuff. It's the same. We've seen it a lot under Montgomery, unfortunately. Like, you know, whether it's 20 minutes to go and we're 2-0 up or we're 2-1 up, or the thought is always to see out to the end of the half when we do something positive. It was the who did he who did we what was the game at Easter Road? We
Was it
were
Ross
one
County
nil
two
up.
two?
And we were 1-0 up, and the second goal got disallowed, and he brought Amos. He was as soon as we scored the second goal. He got
Was that
Amos
Dundee?
stripped, Dundee, I think. Aye, it was Dundee, and he got Amos stripped as soon as the second goal went in. It got disallowed, but he still made the sub. It's just like that was like, yeah, we're here to see the game out now. And you're right, it was the same. And it's frustrating. And it's like, when are you going to learn that we don't have the capabilities of? I don't. We don't actually have the. It's like what I said about the DNA in the squad. We don't have a squad. I don't think at any point in the game can say, right, we're just going to keep it tight now for 15 minutes. I just don't think we've got that in us. We need to be trying to play our game. That's when we're at our best. And it's actually when we're actually at our best defensively, because they're doing the job that they're actually like, this is what we're meant to do. As soon as you tell a team to change, right, that's it. Stop the, like, this has worked to this point, or it, like, go and sit in now for 15, 10, 15, 20 minutes, or fucking 5 minutes, as the case was on Saturday. It just changes the whole attitude. People will start to panic. People will get sloppy. People will overthink things. People will lose concentration because they're thinking about other stuff. Like, it is a very frustrating thing, and it is a trend that we're seeing the manager trying to see things out when we probably actually don't need to. Like, the moment after we scored, the most inevitable thing before halftime was Rangers scoring, because you could see it almost straight from kickoff. I don't even know if we fucking touched the ball. Like, genuinely, it was mental. Sorry, though. Sorry, Andrew.
No, like, you've nailed it, mate. Our strength's going forward. Like, you can't rely on us shutting the back door at all, right? So play your strengths. And as I say, I know I go back, I may be contradicting myself about saying, but I was pleasantly surprised. But I actually thought that Rangers team were quite passive as well. I don't think they were really going for the jugular as well. I think they recognised it was a massive game for them in terms of needing a result as well. And I don't think they were throwing the kitchen sink as really like either. So it's the substitution. Like I've got to say, when you're looking at your bench and you turn round and you've got Martin Boyle sat there, albeit coming back from injury, and you think for half an hour at Ibrox, yeah, here's your answer. I championed the guy, I really did, but that is a hard, hard defence to sell that to all of us that watch the team week in, week out, that you think I'll put him on the head of Martin Boyle. But you can have a front three, Malida, Ewan and Boyle. You put him on. Oh wow. Just
And is again, latest like, what has JR actually ever had a good game off the bench? And like he came off the bench in his first game at Kelly for like 10 minutes. He said he'd done well, and then he started him the next game, and then that's when he started running started, and that's when he was actually good. I actually cannot think of a game where he's come off the bench and made any sort of impact. And there is some players in world football that they'll take time to build into the game or whatever. Like he's not, he's like the polar opposite of an impact sub. Like genuinely, like, and that, I don't even mean that as like a slant on him. I can't actually think of any time he's, I can think of times he started and had a good game, but I can't think of any occasion when he's come off the bench and done anything productive, Harry. And it's up to the manager to recognize that and do something else, but he seems to still want to use him. And obviously, that's not the player's fault.
no, I think you've summed it up quite well. We've got good four people sending Jaya related questions. The most kind, I would say, is from Billy King the North, and he said, "When does the Jaya experiment end, and we give more deserving players a chance?" I'll put that to you, McBee. So, kind of breaking that down into two. In your opinion, should that kind of be the last we see of Jaya, especially in a game in like of that magnitude? And also, is there any players that are more deserving of a chance that are currently at the club? Like, is there anybody we could viably stick in on the wing that was available for Montgomery to put in there?
So, first thing is, I don't know. Well, listen, from my point of view, right? We're obviously supporters and savage, right? But we're not managing the guy on a day in, day out basis, right? So, I'm not sure it's as simple as saying you can just yank a lad out the squad. Like, you're not just dealing with the fact you obviously need a result. You're dealing with a human being as well, right? So, I'm always aware of that fact. But secondly, when you say somebody more deserving, the problem is like where's the so Saturday there was another option and it was a clear and obvious option. Whereas I think maybe previously you could argue at a stretch,
Yep.
well he's the only one that's available that you could potentially put in. And this is where I do genuinely have a problem with that decision on Saturday, because I would never, ever, 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 under any circumstance, put Tavares on ahead of Martin Boyle, regardless of what's went on with Martin Boyle over the last couple of weeks. If he's on that bench and can get you half an hour at Ibrox, he goes on ahead. There's no ifs, there's no buts, right? As I say, you can talk about form and impact and all that kind of stuff and everything, but if you're turning around and saying, "I fancy that guy ahead of Martin Boyle," oh wow! Honestly, how can you justify that? Like, talk. I'd honestly love to have that conversation and go and talk me through what and where you saw that as the best decision for the team at that point in the game. Because
There is obvious.
they fell off a cliff for that 10, 15 minutes. They fell off a cliff. And Tavernier couldn't believe his luck that he was up against this lad. Like, there was points, I don't know if you remember, I always remember watching, I think it was Celtic St Johnstone, and Mikey Johnson came on for them. And this is at the point where some Hibs fans are going, we should go in for him. And Mikey Johnson was just getting ran off repeatedly. like to the point where, listen, I think it was St Johnstone, but he was having a mare, and I think it's the wee Celtic fullback was getting an absolute earful, and it was the same with Yair on Saturday. Fucking hell, Tavernier was running off him for fun, and he just did not know what, where, and how to combat that as well. So.
To go back to the question, Harry, as well, I think there is circumstance around it, and it's maybe not direct. So he's best case scenario for him, fourth best winger at the club, you know, behind Boyle, Malida, and Yuan. Now, obviously, didn't come on for any of them. He came on for a striker. So, in a normal circumstance with everyone fit, you would also have Dylan Venty as an option. So. Would he, I would suggest with a fully fit squad, he would be at best like your sort of third substitution in the attacking area. You know, so you're likely going to have two of Yuan, Boyle, and Malida starting, and then one of Lafondre or Venti. That seems to be what we're seeing. So, you know, at that stage, he probably goes from being the substitute in the 60th minute to the substitute in the 85th minute. You know, like, which is a whole different perspective on it. I think to say it's an experiment, it's not an experiment anymore. The manager obviously values him as a member of the squad. You know, it's beyond an experiment. Nick Montgomery as a person, as a Hibs manager, isn't an experiment now. He's been in since the, what, fifth league game of the season. None of this is an experiment. This is his side and this is his team, albeit, you know, it's only one window, but they're playing the way that. You know, he's had long enough to introduce a way of playing and all that. Like, he just clearly thinks Jair is a valuable asset and a valuable member of the squad, which is fine. You know, if that is your opinion, that's okay. But it's incredibly confusing as a fan to see that when you've got Ruben capabilities who are coming on after him. And I think that's what makes it weird at the weekend. It's what Andrew said there with the fact he's come on before Martin Boyle. It was just strange. And it was actually at a time where Hibs were on top. You know, it was like 10, 15 minutes into the second half.
Just keen not to labour on Jair too much. So just a couple questions that came in about the game. Then I have a couple other questions that we can move on because I've got a few topics to cover. So Mumu sent in, pointless playing the Old Firm. I think in relation to that, what I would say is, I think you touched on it earlier, to beat Rangers or beat Celtic, like, we need to have everybody firing on all cylinders. Like, it's not been spoken about much, but Marcondes stunk the place out. That was Marcondes's worst game in a Hibs top. And if we want to win at Ibrox, our best player, like in terms of ceiling, I think he's our best player at the current moment. Needs to have a good game. He didn't. We're not going to win the game. I'm not saying it's purely on Marcondes. I'm just saying, as an
Yeah, he
example of a
struggled.
player that we need to have a really good game if we're going to win. And also, a spoiled's the wrong word, but when we played against Rangers and had a lot of luck with them in the Championship, and then just after getting promoted, like, we're currently fighting a very different beast to then. And I think that a lot of us kind
Hi,
of
totally.
still recall that, being like, oh, I remember we used to go under Lennon and beat them there. It's just completely,
It's
like, the context is so dramatically
absolutely,
different.
Harry. I was thinking about this after the game. I think back then if you were doing a combined Hibs and Rangers 11, be it in the Championship season or the first season back in the league, even maybe the season that Lennon left as well, you probably would have had a very fair and valid argument to say at least half the Hibs team would have gotten the Rangers team. At least. I think the entire midfield would have started for Rangers. Camberry would have started. He went to them a
He
year
went
later,
there.
like, and when he was shite and got a game 2 years later, like, you know what I mean, would, like, I don't know who they had at left back at that point, but Lewis Stevenson, sorry, in his prime, Marciano was a better goalkeeper than Wes Foderingham, for as far as I'm concerned. Like, so it is you are going to Ibrox as an equal in the Championship and in that first season back up. It is an entirely different game, which, by the way, it's incredibly difficult to accept. Like, I know, you know, we all are Hibs fans and we all want Hibs to go and compete, but, like, it really was with them. Enjoy it while it lasts. And, like, you will still get the odd spells where you seem to get a lot of results, like under Tony Mowbray. But again, that was a limited, you know, it was a couple games. And then it went back to the norm as it had been before that and after that. Like, and Neil Lennon, I think, got one draw at Celtic Park. So even though our great team then still didn't, it's not, it went to Ibrox and competed because Rangers were shit. compared to what they are now. Celtic were good then. Celtic are still good then, and our results are pretty much the same. You know, and that is a fucking tough pill to swallow, but it's one that we probably need to.
Listen, that's what we're saying. The context of this isn't he, exactly what you're saying. You're playing a much different beast with a significant amount of money being invested in them. Whether they can afford it or no, that's another question altogether, right? But you just have to, exactly what you say, swallow that pill and understand that you're up against it right from the start. And there's two teams on that park. One that is significantly better on the than the other on paper, and it plays out on the park more often than it does there. So, can we just take it on the chin and look at the positives that were there on Saturday? Because I think there still was a lot there for us to build on.
Yeah, no, I think he's pretty much nailed it. And then just a yes or no from each of you is Happy Jock said, how is that a pen? I know that isn't a yes or no question, but I'm just going to ask you as a yes or no. Are we all in agreement? No, we spoke about VAR until I'm blue in the face, and I hate it.
It's not a penalty. By the way, what Chris has said is right. Chris has convinced me that penalties are getting given far too late. Penalties should be much harder to come by. But I think it should have been retaken as per laws of the game because Lafondra was in the D, which you're not allowed to be. Hey, the penalty was missed, so and maybe we got better luck with it not getting retaken.
Be a penalty for you or nah?
Absolutely not. No.
And believe it or not, I'm in agreement. And maybe we're all just happy clapper, green tinted wearing bastards. Then
Oh, absolutely.
final point on the game itself, Payne sent in, why are we so soft against the Old Firm? Play them at football and they will obviously beat us. I want to see them getting put 6 foot in the air and dragged into a fight. We sat back and admired them far too much second half. Do you think there's validity to that? Do you think that we were a bit too respectful of Rangers? I didn't really get that vibe. Like, so from my personal viewpoint, and it was the same thing that I said to what do you call it, like Brian McDermott and Ian Gordon when I was in Luzern. I was like, I've come here for a laugh. I've come here to watch Hibs play. If they put a performance on, we get knocked out, but they do us proud, and you can tell everybody's put effort in. I don't care. As a football fan, I pay my money to see the team I support try and fucking put all their effort in. Obviously, if that translates to points and wins, bonus. I just like as we've just said, I just think we need to accept that sometimes the performance doesn't look sexy, but the players are still putting what they can in. Like, I don't think that we had a lack of effort at the weekend. And that's the reason I'm not annoyed here. And it's the
No.
reason at times throughout the season I have been annoyed at performances because I do think it's a lack of effort that's caused us results. But on a game like that, I think we put a shift in, and at times, as we said, it's a hard pill to swallow. But against the likes of Rangers, putting a shift in sometimes what
Not
we can
enough.
do. As we said, this isn't a team that's 15 points behind Celtic now. This isn't a team that's got nothing to play for. This is a team that's neck and neck with their main rivals. And yeah, like
If you want to get, it's a
it's an
worse Hibs
opportunity
team
to hang
against a
with them.
better Ranger. Yeah. Oh, by the way, exactly. Like, Pete, I don't know if I've not actually seen any reaction, but Montgomery's right. Like, they are the best team in the league, they're. I do believe that. I mean, I actually think Celtic might beat them at the weekend because I think they've got a bit of a mental block against Celtic. But I do think they're the best team in the country currently. But Harry, like, one, I've sort of covered it already with saying I don't think we've got it in our team. I don't think we've got it in the makeup of our squad to do it. But is that not what we've done at Easter in the cup and got two players sent off and gave away a penalty?
So I agree with you, mate, because I was going to. One of the things that stood out for me was there was a lack of aggression, right? But again, when you look at the circumstance of where you are, not just, as I say, the game in isolation, look at everything else that's going on with Rangers. They're going for a title challenge. They're going like, you know, 50,000 of them. The guy's got to go for his, the ref, sorry, he's got to go for his milk and bread at some stage. Like, Ken, he's not going to do controversial, really, is he? Do you know? As was borne out by his decision for the penalty, albeit I will give him his due. Because I do think we got away with one with the encroachment, so fair enough. But you're right. Like, I just you can't go hammer and tongs steaming in, especially Goulson. Goulson looks like he's
Oh.
refereeing games as well. Can any type of 50-50, he's right in the air. And that's multiple games I've seen that now as well. It's pretty tiresome.
It's high, like Harry, at the end of the day, there's 50,000 Rangers fans there. If someone Rocky, for argument's sake, goes in and clatters Dessers with maybe a slightly, a borderline yellow to red card tackle, the red card's coming out, and then the chance of it being overturned on VAR is slim, and for what? Like, I don't know, I can't remember exactly when Rangers scored the third goal, but until that goes in, you are in the game. Whether we like the way we've done it or not, after 45 minutes, it was 1-1. There's context to everything, but the context also is you can't go flying in at Ibrox, because even if you don't touch Joe Aribo, you get sent off, so.
Hey. Well, there's one more topic for the game, which in my opinion is the biggest talking point of the game. And I think it might be the biggest talking point of the season. Is the Nectar Triantis double kill, actually triple kill, because it
Oh.
hits Joe Newell in the head again? Is that the funniest moment ever, like in Scottish football history? Because the more I watch it back, the funnier it becomes. That is actually fucking hysterical. Like, have you noticed that when it goes back and hits Newell again, it just makes it
Yeah.
so much funnier? So good.
Not
Harry,
funny, mate. I got more individual messages on that saying, "Have you seen this?" than probably what I did getting congratulations for my Bairns burn. Like, genuinely, like, honestly, every man in their dug that was there, Hibs supporter, was like, "You seen this, McBee?" Like, honestly, the phone blew up. And honest to Christ, like, I didn't actually realise contextually wise it was the first 5-10 minutes as well. So when I watched it back, I was like, Christ alive. Like, to be fair, I've actually done well coming back for that, because, if they're saying that, I'm like, that if I'd been watching that live, I'd be like, that's it. Just turn over now. What a fucking
Was
shambles.
it? Was it someone said, "What's the point of playing the Old Firm, San Harry?" Maybe just, what's the point of playing Giantes against the Old Firm? Like, penalty against Celtic, penalty against Rangers, does that? Maybe just say, "Oh, look, if we get top six, we're just going to rest you in the two games." Like, we know we're just going to have it. Was like, it is funny, but it's like, fucking hell, of course it's us. Of course it's us. Like, it's like we've just actually been getting our shit together in the form table. We're third in the league, I think, over six league games. I think I seen that yesterday, and it's like, but there we go. Let's just bring ourselves right back down to earth, because we're still Hibs, and it perfectly sums up our season. He is trying to do something positive. He is trying to make a quick free kick to get my leader in behind, but takes it to our players to it. Like, genuinely fucking unbelievable, Jay. Oh, by the way, lucky Joe Newell was the fucking concussed.
Yeah,
Like,
I hope he gets second checks after the game, by the way, because that was an absolute rifle. Fair play.
oh,
Yeah,
Jesus. To be fair, he took it like a champ, like,
you're judging him for trying to fucking make a slide tackle an hour later.
To
Let me
be fair,
think it straight.
I forgot he was concussed, actually. Sorry, Joe.
But one other talking point that came up, most popular. I don't want to cover it in too much detail, because if it comes to 2 weeks' time and it becomes reality, then we'll probably have to talk about it quite in depth. But maybe we'll get your opinion on it first. Most succinctly put, Scott Miller said, "If we don't make top six, should we look for a new manager to spend the money coming our way in the summer? What's the case for him staying, other than we can't continue to change managers?" And just to confirm, we did have about five or six other similar tweets, so apologies if I didn't read yours out, but I think that summarizes the tweets we got in quite well.
So I would lend myself to the argument of you can't keep chopping and changing, but Scott's obviously called that out, so fair play, mate. So actually, see if you flip the coin and it doesn't make top six, and some you but in fact it was you boys that put the list of the squad that potentially are going out the door as well. Somebody does have a blank canvas potentially to come in. And listen, I'm still fully behind the guy. I still think that we're only really interested in the first team, right? And I definitely know that there's been massive strides behind the scenes at the club from a youth level all the way through. And listen, I know it was necessity, like he was playing kids earlier on, in the season. And really, what he's needed because of the trouble we were in and the trouble he was in specifically was he needed to bring in experience. And we've been fortunate in the players that he has been able to recruit by and large. But it would be a tough pill to swallow, especially when you see Kilmarnock are above you, especially when you see Dundee are above you as well. I just. That's hard to accept, to be honest with you. Kelly especially. Yes, listen, I hate myself because listen, I was one of the guys that championed him coming in, and up until he brought in Yair on Saturday, I would have still been banging that drum, going nut, 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 nut. But that decision for me to say was an eyebrow raiser and a half, because I just cannot get my head around how you justify that. It was crazy. It was crazy for me, and that concerns me. Do you know? It really does.
Just when we're jumping on the like one moment where we were back in Montgomery, then we instantly flipped. I know me and you argued about it quite a lot at the time on in the group chat. But not starting Adam Lafondra away to Ross County, in my opinion, was the single biggest blunder that he's made so
It
far. The
was
fact that
Liam
he
you were
started out.
arguing about
Oh,
it.
I
I'm
thought I'd
a
argue with you about it.
nice boy.
And we'll say it was Liam then. But in my opinion, I think if we start Lafondra that game, we have similar to what we've done against Livingston, where we come out the gates, attack a team, and do really well. So yeah, for me, but and yeah, just from my opinion of it, like it's difficult. It is difficult because it is hard to put an argument together. The only thing I'd say from this point is ahead of the Rangers game, you're 7 unbeaten, which is by far our best streak of the season. I think maybe
Six
when
or
Montgomery
seven.
came in, he had similar. In context to those games, in my opinion, with competent officiating, you're probably looking at 5 or 6 wins in that period. And again, with more context, just because he said, is there any reasons that you can point to? He did get absolutely butchered with injuries, and he did have players leave that would have been in the team week in, week out, that had to go away for about 6 games. So I'm just throwing excuses out there as to why you would potentially keep him. And for me, he took what Lee Johnson had looking like a potential relegation outfit and has got them to a team that's probably playing the fourth best football in the country, or looking like the fourth best team in the country, after Hearts at the moment, in the last couple of games. But yeah, I'm probably stretching there. I don't want him to be sacked just because I don't want to go through it again, and I think the job would be pretty untouchable for anybody wanting any kind of stability.
Aye.
So yeah,
And
and I
that's the thing,
will, yeah.
you're planning now as well, right? This is it. You've already got your eye on next season. So they'll already be speaking to players, agents, etc. as well. So you literally as I say, when he came in, he had a completely and utterly different philosophy and what he wanted to do at the club, right? So Johnson was very much we'll just buy. We will just buy. That was his approach. Like he had no interest in youth at all. He's obviously, as I say, Montgomery's got a much different approach to it, albeit it seems a little bit different given, as I go back to the point, he was in trouble in January and needed sign-ins in the door. And we've seen with the boys coming back from injury and international duty that the young boys have kind of dropped off the bench. But I do think for the medium to long term vision of what they want at the club, he probably still is the right man. It's just, as I say, Harry, I agree with the context of what you're saying, but is it still even strong enough? Don't know. I genuinely don't know.
I'm just gonna bring us round nicely to all three of us sitting right on that fence. It's hard, Harry, right? So I would struggle to. I think I would find it easy to argue for both cases and probably struggle to argue against. Right? There is context. Look, if we lose to St Johnstone and we lose to Motherwell, and then you end up in the bottom six and you sort of stink the place out there as well, then good luck selling season tickets, good luck getting people back on side. He probably goes, right? If I'm 100% in my belief. I don't know if anyone else heard you, Harry, on the radio on Saturday. You said you'd give Hibs a 70% chance of finishing in the top six. I'm 100% in my belief that if we win both our games, we will finish in the top six. And we should win both games. And that, obviously, it's if on both of the things I've said there. But again, should he be judged on two games? You know, like, that's the thing. Like, how can you judge a manager on a two-game spell where we've just come off the back of a good run? But I'm also on record as saying he's had basically the whole season. You know, he only didn't take four league games. Johnson got three. Gray had one. Then he came in. So we've played 31 games. He's had 20, what does that mean? 27? No, 26 league games he's had. By the time the split comes around, it'll be 28. Like, for me, that's more than enough time to make sure you're in the top six. But there's massive context to it as well. When he first came in, we were great. Recently, we've played well. Bad refereeing decisions, but we should have still won the games. We still should have won at Tynecastle. You know, like, we still should have won at Ross County, to name two. Like, we should have beat Aberdeen in the League Cup semi-final. That buys them time. You know, if you didn't get the player sent off against Rangers, I think we probably do equalise and it goes to extra time and penalties, and you see what happens there. Like, there's so much context. That's what I mean. I think you could easily choose either side to argue with, but how do you say to someone that says, well, he's had long enough and we've finished in the bottom six? You can't say they're wrong. But then I'm trying to think, so if we were sitting here and Liam was with us, Liam would probably be saying about context and like how you can't you just judge them on what the two games are coming up. And that's right as well. Like, it is, like, we will ultimately we'll finish where we deserve. You know, like, we will get what we want. But I don't know. I honestly, I don't know. I think I'm more on the side. I think if you'd asked me 6 weeks ago, I'd have said, if he doesn't get top six, he's got to go. And I probably wasn't that much of a fan. I think I've flipped. I think I've seen enough to suggest we're going in the right direction and we should stick with him. But I think I said on a podcast last week or the week before, I think I've also got a bit of a bad feeling. We might come back and look at this and go, we just needed one more game before the split. You know, it just took us one game too much. See if we'd just been better in that St Mirren game. Because he still had his players then. You know, like, the players were in the door. They maybe weren't up and running. We did have a couple of players off the Asian Cup in that. But that game, or the, like, had the run started there, instead of the good performance against Celtic, then you just edge in. Then you probably go and finish fifth. The one thing I know is Hibs will not finish sixth place. I couldn't be more certain of that. I don't think if we get top six, we finish sixth. I'm so confident that we'd finish above St Mirren for sure. And by the way, I think they take maximum 1 point from their two remaining games. So if we take six, we go above them regardless. With goal difference and stuff, you'd be level with them. But, you know, goal difference, if they've lost their games and we've won ours, you would expect that gap to be flipped in our favour. So I think the top six is going to be Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Kelly, ourselves, and Dundee. That's my opinion. I don't think we're fighting Dundee here. I think St Mirren are the ones that are going to drop out. And if he gets top six, then I think there's no discussion to be had.
Simon's got Hearts and
Hearts and Celtic,
Hearts, Hearts and Celtic.
we're 5 points behind. So if they get 1 point, but we beat on goal difference, we go above. If they get 0 points and we win out, we go above.
Yep. And they're on minus one goal difference, we're minus six. So, like, you know, if you win two
Aye,
games,
so if you win two
if
games,
you win the both one,
I'd
they'll be
be,
able to
I'd,
both one.
aye, I'd be, they might just be above you, but I'd be really, really surprised if, you know, over the course of them losing a game and us winning two, if, like, five goals didn't they flip. Fuck me, if we only beat St Johnstone and Motherwell 1-0, then he should go.
Problem is, like, the St Johnstone will be what it is on Saturday, right? But Motherwell away is not a gimme by any
No.
stretch of the imagination. Like, I went beginning of the season, and I was in the Motherwell end on hospitality, and it was so interesting sitting amongst opposition fans with an opinion on your team and a view on your team. And then after the game, obviously, because they won, they've trotted out the boy. He get his man of the match and everything like that. And see even the players' view on that Hibs team. Like, honestly, it was fascinating because he basically said that they knew that Hibs team coming there on that day, Motherwell would overrun them. That was his exact words. And the Motherwell supporters sitting at Wrongsby didn't think we were a threat in any shape or form,
We
despite
were
playing flat
horrific.
family.
That
And we
could
were
still be our
horrific. Go.
worst game of the season this year.
Oh, listen, we were absolutely horrific, but this was even before we'd kicked the ball. Do you know,
Right.
like, I've honestly, so know the player obviously coming in post game, but before the game, they were like, nah, this we'll win this today. I'm like, fucking yank. Born
Aye.
right, to be honest with you, but so.
I might be wrong,
Aye.
but I'm pretty sure we started a midfield 2-11 at Jago that day.
You know,
I might
mate?
be
It's
wrong.
like
I could be wrong.
we
I
may
might be
well have
now,
actually. Now that you come, I
but
think I had.
basically, let's hear we go here. Lineups. Let's see how much has changed. Sorry, they did start, but Newell played as well. We played a 4-4. Well, fuck knows, by the way. 3-5-2 with Lewis Stevenson at left centre half. So what they've got on file. Because Fish, Hanlon, Stevenson, Obita, Miller, Jago, Levitt, Newell, Venti, and Deutsch.
Can I just throw it there? When Obita first joined, he was a winger. He got played on the wing. And when he first played at left back, I thought he was pish at left back. And I was like, why are we not playing this boy on the wing? I remember speaking to Craig and being adamant, this boy can never play left back for Hibs again. He is rubbish there because he came on as a sub against someone and he looked terrible. And then now he's been so consistent and fantastic. So that just shows what an eye for football this specky bastard has. Fair enough that we went back to literally horror days, but hopefully, boys, we can flip it around this weekend as we host St Johnstone. Craig Levein's side not doing us any favors as they lost to Dundee at home. St Johnstone at home's always been a weird one because remember we went through the phase of we kept winning at McDermott Park after never winning there, and they kept winning at Easter Road after never winning there, and now it's probably about balanced for each. We both just like to annoy each other. But McBee, talk to me. Team wise. Is there any changes you would want to see immediately, or do you think the starting 11 kind of holds firm?
No, I think the starting 11 holds firm. Unless Fenty's fit, then I wouldn't mind trying to fit him in some sort of shape and form, but I don't think that's going to be the case. So no, I think you go again with what started, because it was, as I say, it wasn't poor on Saturday by any stretch of the imagination, and again contextually, it's actually been a semi decent run, kind of that we've been on in sort of recent weeks. But listen, St Johnstone's main danger's out, the Dr. Dre. So listen, this should be an absolute cakewalk on Saturday with him not being in the squad, eh? So my boy.
What a boy, Dr. Dre himself. You and yourself, any changes to the starting lineup?
Nah, not at all. Even if Fenty is fit, find your place on the bench, son. I've made my thoughts clear on Mr. Lafondre and Mr. Venti last week. Like strikers that
What?
score goals, and Adam Lafondre scores
Sorry
more
to cut
goals.
you off, but I just had a revelation and we forgot to mention him. How good has Chris Cadden been since he's come back, by the way? I thought he was really,
Unbelievable.
really good at the weekend.
Yeah, very good, mate.
And no offense to Lewis Miller, but he's not getting anywhere near the team at the moment. Like Chris Cadden has got that on lock. He's been fantastic since coming back. I think he's playing better now than he did last year.
Absolutely.
I thought Cadden was outstanding on Saturday as well, mate. He really was.
Yeah,
Sorry, I
no.
just popped in my head but didn't even mention him.
Quite right,
I
Harry.
can't not give him
Quite
credit
right.
for that.
No, he was very good. Lewis Miller, find your place on the bench. Yeah,
No,
no, and but that you might have been, you might have been that, you might have been in that situation. I mean, if you were
definitely.
talking, if you were taking, I mean, look, we've said you didn't want to judge your season, didn't want to judge your players on good Ibrox, but if you were doing that, then you drop Marcondes. You know, he probably, he was very disappointing, but absolutely not. Play your best players, and I think that team that played at Ibrox, that played against Livingston, whether fitness or no, I think that's our best team. Boyle
And
included.
Ken, what's a deciding factor for me here? And this is another incident that we talked about earlier, where in isolated incidents make me question the manager. If for some reason he tries to segue in Martin Boyle by taking Lafondre out and putting either Juan or Malouda up top, and we start without a striker that feels it's more comfortable on the wing, just sack him. I can't be bothered. I'm sick of Hibs managers playing players not in their correct position. It's the main thing that got Johnson sacked. If he just started playing players in their natural positions, he would have kept the job. He would have finished third last year. And then the main games this year that we've dropped points in, and the reason we struggled so much under Montgomery is because he just kept on putting players, sorry, in positions that they weren't comfortable in. And as soon as we've got this new flow of players that have come in and we've started putting them in their correct positions, yeah, we've bottled a couple of leads. But overall, the play's been so much better. So it cannot revert back to nonsense. I refuse to be nonsense again.
You've just talked me into the fact that Boyle's going to start and my leader's going to be down the middle instead of Lafondra.
And it's
I
really
don't
annoyed
want
me.
it.
It
I
annoyed her as
don't.
much as it's annoyed me because I'm annoyed. I'm angry.
I genuinely, I, like you've said that, and I can see it. I can absolutely see it. You know, he's gave Lafondra the nod for the start. Obviously, in the last two games, hooked him fairly early last at Ibrox. But look, I certainly wouldn't do it. But oh, I can see it. You've put it right. You've put it right in my mind's eye.
Well, hopefully my eyes are wrong as always. But anyway, boys, talk to me about predictions. McBee, come to you first. What do you think the score's going to be, and who's going to be our hero if we've got any?
Comfortable 3-0 win, I would hope. Where Marcondes, my leader, masterclass incoming.
You and talk to me.
Yeah, I pretty much concur. I think we've been pretty good at home in recent times. Comfortable. St Johnstone are shocking. I know look, or Craig Levein factor and all that, but I don't see it, mate. I don't see them causing us any trouble, and I don't see them being able to withhold at the back the firepower that we have in that sort of four attacking players and whatever setup they may well be. Everyone's been saying we're due to pump someone, and maybe that should have been Livy. Are we going to pump St Johnstone? 4-1 Hibs. 4-1 Hibs. And we are going to get an Elian double. And Marconde is going to get himself on the score sheet, and then one of the two centre halves will score for a set piece.
Well, a few reasons I'm not very happy with that. Obviously, result probably take it. But one, Davy Marshall deserves his clean sheet. That's a shame. Two, why have you ended my leader's scoring run? That's not very nice. Man scored four games in a row.
Because
Keep it going.
the turns have tabled, and he's gonna set up he's gonna set up Elly Yuan for a change. He's played his part. No, look, I know I said I don't think they'll cause as much problems, but I just feel like you don't often see a 4-0. You know, like you see a lot of score lines in football. Like I don't feel like you see 4-0 very often. I don't feel like you
Definitely
see.
not when you're following Hibs this season
No,
anyway.
that's true. Like, do you know that like you never see a team win 6-1? It's either 6-2 or 6-0, innit? I mean, like when do you see it? Like, you know, like I just and I don't think he's. I was actually going to say 4-2 because I feel like if a team scores four goals more often than not, they concede two. But I just said that they'll not cause a threat, and if I said they're going to score two, then that would be a total contradiction. So.
And it's not the crazy stat that Hibs have scored more than two once in a league game this season. That is still mind-blowing, eh? Like, that is an absolutely ridiculous stat.
And it was
And
two
it was
weeks
against
ago.
Livy. Aye. That is honestly the most absurd thing ever. And bearing that in mind, I'm going to say Hibs 5, St Johnstone nil.
Yes, Harry.
No, but you never see a 5-0, Harry, so they're definitely going to
No.
score.
But you know the good thing is, you know the good thing is, I believe in fate making life as stressful as possible. So St Johnstone, obviously they're going to get pumped by us. St Mirren are going to get beat, and Dundee are going to draw. So the three of us are going to be in this absolute shootout. So come us going to Motherwell, it is going to be everything riding on it. We are going to be shitting ourselves, and it's going to be horrendous. I'm going to dread it the entire week. I'm going to dread it on match day. And until that final whistle blows and we are in the top six, I'm going to dread every single minute. And that is my prediction. I'm very happy and cheerful, as always. But yeah, boys, we did have one listener question I thought we'd save to the end just because I thought it was a bit of fun. So Mark Skinner sent in, at what point when you've told the middle child already do you lose the plot when they swipe the last strawberry Cornetto? McBee, we'll come to you on that. At what point when a kid just does something that's relatively harmless but really fucking annoying do you actually snap?
Oh, mate, so fucking hell. Right, so my older one, the lesser seen big brother, that wee dafty that comes to the football, we're going through a real teenage angst type of
Awesome.
scenario where I'm just now. So he's came in last week, and right off the bat, I've looked at his feet and I'm like, your feet are absolutely soaking. What's went on there? And he's like, oh, when I got off the bus, I had to walk through puddles to be able to get home. So I was like, hang on a minute. I'm like, what do you mean you had to walk through the puddles? I was like, who did you get off the bus with? So he's reamed off the kids that he's got off. I was like, I need to phone their parents and find out whether they've had to walk through the puddles as well. I says, because I can guarantee it's just you. And he's like, right. So I'm like, right, that's it, calm. The following day, he walks in, right? So the trainers have been on the radio or overnight and everything as well. And he comes in, and I'm looking at his feet again, and I'm like, what the fuck has went on here again? So he's like, this is where he thought he was smart. He was like, oh, I was playing football with the boys at lunchtime. Doesn't he play football? Right? I'm like, I keep thinking that'll cushion the blow. And I says, right? I says, that still doesn't explain how your feet are wet. And he's like, oh, but then the rain started and I had to run through the puddles to get to it. So honestly, I'm no
Oh no.
joking. I went from 0 to 100. Like, I'm like, are you just like 2 days on the spin after the row you got yesterday? Are you taking the piss? So I honestly, mate, I feel his angst, especially with the strawberry cornet will be involved as well. But fuck me.
Oh no. Aye. Teenagers, I
Oh.
feel like I still am a teenager at heart, but yeah,
Aye.
absolute nightmare. But we love them anyway. Ewan,
Aye.
I think you've got more of a furry child that's a
Yeah.
bit
Yeah, I
assaults
was
at the
gonna say
moment.
I don't think I should insult any of the parents that listen to this by comparing raising a puppy to raising a child. I don't think that would do us any favors. It's got its challenges, mate. But the issue is, I get in trouble more than the dog. Because to give me peace, I give the dog treats. And then Lauren comes in for her work when I've been working from home and I write him off everything I've gave the dog. And there's only one of us that's in the bad books. Regardless of how much a little shit the dog has been while I've been trying to work, it's my fault for giving the treats. And then I end up in the dog house and the dog ends up in the bed. No, it's been it's been challenging. Funny you say strawberry cornetto, she did actually bump the chocolate bit of my cone, you know, that only last week or so. So I don't know what I've put it on the table to like go through to like the kitchen or something. Just I don't know why would I not just throw it in my mouth? I'm a fat bastard. Why did I always do that? But I left on the table and literally I came back and it was gone. Fuming, buddy, fuming.
Oh.
But she's been a delight. She has been a delight. But I wouldn't want to insult anyone by comparing raising a dog to raising a child.
Honestly, I had a strong, strong stance in a zero dog household, and now I'm the biggest dafty with my little princess. Like, honestly, I love that dog, like you would not believe. So, I hear you.
I carry her to bed every night. Yeah.
I
Oh,
didn't
like, do
go that
you
far, right enough.
know what? Like, I'm not even lying, right? So, do you know what? Like, it's because so she'll fall asleep on the couch, right? And we never crate trained her or that. And so this is just non-Hibs related chat. Funny, me and Harry said, Ella, should we just start a dog podcast instead of a Hibs podcast? And here we are. But sometimes, so if we wake her up, sometimes she'll, if she, like, if we walk up to bed, then she'll get hyper again if she, like, gets on the floor basically because she'll see a toy or something, so it wakes up. So I'll just carry her up, honestly, like a fucking wee bear, and like sitting on my chest, and he'd just like rest there. And Lauren looks at me, and I'm like, don't get any ideas, like, don't be getting any ideas at all.
Back to children. My main problem with children. If there's any children listening,
Go for that, Harry.
you listen up
Go on,
here,
Harry. On
you
you go,
listen up
son.
here. I hate gaslighters, and children gaslight me all the time. I've done like football coaching for about a year, and I stopped very quickly after I realised I have to deal with children so much, because they would all go around and they'd all boot each other, and then I would see them booting, and I'd be like, all right, well, we'll just call like Jimmy. Then he'd be kicking him again. And then he'd be like, he kicked me. I'd be like, what? And then he'd be like, then the boy that had kicked me would be like, I didn't kick you. And then Jimmy would be like, aye, he'd kick me. And then the other, like Jimmy's mate would come along and be like, aye, he kicked Jimmy. Jimmy didn't kick him. So then I'm second guessing myself, thinking,
Kicked him into
shit,
the puddles, mate. Yeah, that's what.
have I just told Jimmy off for getting kicked? And then you can see like the way he works, because Mackenzie's getting in my head. So Jimmy, you non-existent little boy, I'm onto you. I'm onto you, you gaslight little. Children Hibs, Ibrox, St Johnstone aside, it's been a pleasure, boys. Thanks as always for joining. And yeah, no, we'll catch you next time, hopefully on the cusp of top six. And if not, then you'll have a very depressed Harry on next week's pod.
Aye. And if I think what I'll just say before we wrap up, keep your eyes out for the team lineup. And if they do fucking big hat, if just Phil Harry's mentions on Twitter, we like Monty must stay if my leader's in the middle.
And just to confirm, see if that does happen and we win 8-0, please lambast me and slag me off for being wrong, because I would love to be wrong in this instance.
Super. Well, Harry's already closed off, so I'm going to close off again. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week. Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.